It may be called the Consumer Electronics Show, but the annual Las Vegas event has a lot to offer the government. From smart watches to faster phones to the Internet of Things, there's plenty for enterprise CIOs to keep an eye on. Jameson Cush is the executive editor at TechTarget. He took a break from perusing the CES showrooms to tell me what's caught his eye.
The big thing at this show this year is going to be, or it is, the Internet of Things. And it's sort of a buzzword, and as it's defined at this show, it seems to be smart cars, wearables like fitness trackers, and the smart home. The enterprise angle is very much downplayed, as you said, at the Consumer Electronics Trade Show, but I think there's a lot that could be relevant to an enterprise in terms of, M2M machines communicating with one another.
And that whole idea of the wearables, that seems to have a lot of possible implication for enterprises as almost peripherals to mobile devices.
Oh, sure, definitely. And here it's smartwatches. Google Glass is sort of, I don't want to say it's gone away, but the buzz has definitely died down, at least with consumers. So here it's a lot of smartwatches. And what you see is a couple things. One, a lot of them are waiting to see what Apple does with the iWatch. But the wearables that are here, they're no longer these utilitarian bands. A lot of them sort of look like jewelry, like something you might actually want to wear and be seen wearing without looking too geeky. So, it's like the technology has evolved to the point where it's good enough, and now the manufacturers are sort of focused on making people want to wear these things.
So it seems like as the original smartphones and maybe even the BlackBerries themselves originally, this could come in at the executive level and then work its way down in the organization.
Oh, sure. And, we've done stories in the past and talked about companies rolling out fitness trackers as part of a health plan or maybe a corporate, wellness plan. You tend to see that. It's a lot of fun. But at this show, as I said, it's about fun. It's about getting consumer buzz, about getting that CEO's eye so he wears it and, then implements it across the organization.
And what about connected cars? Because that would seem to mitigate in favor of fleets as someone who could, fleet operators who could benefit the most from something like that. And what do they mean by it?
Oh, sure. Well, they mean a lot of things by it. So at this show, it's a big mishmash of standards and operating systems and processors and sensors. And it seems everybody has something that they want to be the standard, each, car maker. But a lot of it is, it was interesting because it used to be the person communicating with the car directly, but now we see cars communicating with a larger, as you said, fleet or maybe the network, so they communicate. They can provide diagnostic information to a central hub. They can, they have sensors to avoid running into one another, or for fleet management, making sure, you don't have too many in one spot. You can disperse them and go to the busy areas or, things like that. So it's sort of taking the next step from one-to-one to this sort of network of cars. We see that in all the demos, but what we're seeing are demos. To actually have these things be implemented and adopted, that's the next step.
And for cars to be connected, I guess we're presuming through the Internet, of course, not through radio signals the way the old way. What kind of technology is on board the car or the vehicle to be able to network it through the Internet? Does that mean every car has to come with a data plan from one of the carriers?
The carriers are actually pretty much absent from this show. And, in the past, I think LTE has been the technology standard that a lot of these car makers and sensor makers have touted. But, when you talk about the Internet of Things, we always think of it as these devices that are connected to the Internet or to a bigger network. But I think the next step, and there's platforms like Xively from LogMeIn, where they're communicating directly with one another and there is no middleman, and that, reduces the security threat and eliminates the pain points of having to deal with syncing and connecting and maybe losing a network. And that's the next logical step. There hasn't been much talk about that, but I think, that's where we're headed.
And so what is the means of communication between devices that are not on the standard up and down, through the Internet?
That's a very good question. At shows like this, the details are sort of left to the backroom conversations. For me in the press, it's all about getting my eye and showing me the demo of the happy driver avoiding an accident because, her kids are in the backseat creating ruckus and she looks behind. And then she looks at her center console and tells her there's traffic to avoid, take this route. And oh, by the way, there's a gas station here that has the cheapest gas in town. So if you're going to fill up, now is a good time to do it. So, like I said, it's about buzz, and they're hoping just to get attention.
All right, so it could be that there might be multiple protocols involved in Internet of Things that are moving and that kind of thing, maybe not simply just IP.
Exactly. And, Yes, and that is the big problem with adoption. As I said, it's the mishmash of standards. And, you know, who's going to end up on top? I mean, if we look even at the smart home, you have so many people competing. Apple has HomeKit. You know, Google has sort of weighed in a little bit with Android TV and a few other things. But as a company like Samsung that actually can handle the networking technology, they own SmartThings, which is a sort of smart home hub, but they also make the appliances, the refrigerators and the dishwashers and the washer and dryer. So they really have that all in one, and I think they're going to be a big name, maybe not coming out of the show, but they're going to be pushing it, you know, 3, 4, 5 years down the line.
Jameson Cush is the executive director of Technology Guide at TechTarget. And what have you seen just from the gadget standpoint that looks interesting that might be something that you would see in the next federal agency or company?
You know, a lot of these sort of smart products, they're very gimmicky, but they caught my attention. I mean, there was one, there's a smart EpiPen that when you deploy it or use it, it will send out an alert to people's smartphone apps like, hey, my kid had a bee sting and used it, and it will send GPS location. I thought that was pretty cool. There was a smart belt that will automatically adjust according to, you know, if you ate too much or not enough, or slight adjustments and weight. And then because I'm a pet guy, the one I love the most, there was a smart pet collar. It's a company called Tag, and, you know, it's just a GPS signal that lets you track your pet while you're away, you know, if he or she's out with a dog walker, and then track the steps and the exercise the pet gets. But I like that because I'm a sucker for dogs.
And looking across at the people that are walking through the aisles, what are they? Are they mostly buyers from retail? Because it used to be at some of these shows you would see military people and just folks from the enterprise, from CIO types, walking through these shows, even though they weren't necessarily looking for what to stock at Best Buy.
Oh, sure, sure. There are plenty of CIOs here. In terms of military, I haven't seen much. At this show, there's always that dichotomy of the professionals, the buyers, the vendors, and then, you know, my brood, the tech press that looks like they just rolled out of bed. There's that dichotomy. But as far as the military goes, I haven't really seen much of that here.
And what about the keynotes? Who are the companies that have been given the stage, I guess, by virtue of how big their displays are? But still often you get a sense of the bellwether of the industry from who is speaking.
Oh, sure, sure. And Samsung, they did a keynote the other day, and their big push was the Internet of Things and their smart things, sort of home monitoring hub. And I believe there are a few connected car companies. Audi, I think, has a keynote today. And then Intel. Intel always has a keynote. And they're going to probably announce or officially announce their new generation of core chips that are going to power the thin and light tablets and laptops of the future. And I've seen some of these laptops. You think that they're thin and light now. The new next generation of ThinkPads are just going to be absolutely ridiculously thin and light. And it's going to be just amazing when you pick them up and realize, wow, this is a full-on laptop.
So it sounds like maybe there's convergence of the tablet and the traditional laptop in some manner.
Oh yeah, that's been going on for years with the two-in-ones, the Lenovo Yoga or the it's a tablet, it's a notebook. The Surface Pro is a good example of that. And Lenovo always makes a big splash at this show. They use it to launch a ton of products, and just about all of them have a touchscreen or a tablet capability, if not are full-on tablets with a detachable keyboard.
So what's your prediction of the future for users of, you know, that are making that decision for their organizations, tablets versus ultralight notebooks?
Well, they don't really have to make that decision now. I mean, a lot of these ThinkPads, like the new ThinkPad Carbon, it's the flagship ThinkPad, the one that they've used last year at CES has kind of been scrapped because it had the trackball. I think they moved the trackball to make it a little less enterprisey and more consumer-friendly. Well, this one, the trackball is back right in the middle, so the trackball users, the people who love that, are going to be happy, and I think you're going to see a lot of enterprise adoption. But, of course, that also has a touchscreen, and, you know, it can be have tablet functionality in a pinch. And Windows, the new versions of Windows, definitely lend themselves to the sort of swipe interaction.
Is Microsoft still pushing the Surface Pro, which had some trouble getting started?
Well, the Surface Pro 3, I think, caught a lot of eyes. I mean, I'm a user. I know that it generated some great reviews, and I've seen a lot of them here at the show. They are not officially at the show. They're not really showcasing much. They'll probably save that for their own event. But, you know, if you look at Microsoft's direction under the new CEO, they're really going into services, bringing Office to just about everywhere, like the iPad and Android. They're going after cloud with Azure and Office 365 and Windows 10. I think hardware is sort of a secondary concern for them now, but the Surface Pro has some good brand name, and it has started to catch on, so I don't think they'll be ditching it. And I think that the big thing is just the lack of tablets and smartphones, sort of consumer-friendly tablets and smartphones. This has always been a big show for that, but it seems that companies like Samsung and HTC that would use the show to launch that are now waiting to have their own events because they just don't want to compete with all the headlines. You know, this is really a show, I think, mostly for startups to get recognized. I can see a lot of venture-funded and Kickstarter-funded startups spending all their money to be here to get somebody to notice them and maybe be acquired.